I'm tired tonight, you know, it seems just, it happens. I go all the time. I'm real tired. That reading took a lot out of me the other day. And I'm so glad I had a chance to read with my colleagues tonight. My name was Dog Undercover. A lot of people, it was convenient, okay, for me to have that name. My colors, as I told you before, were black, red, and white. My gang color, it was me. Okay, the poets that read tonight are part of the secret society of Dog. We wore the monk robes. And you see, this is, of course, taken from Bukowski. I have seen hell. Okay. At least I think I have. If you want to buy a T-shirt, we're sewing. I'm sewing. I give everything to kids. I'm opening my 10th boxing gym. Okay, these are kind of cool, you know. And every time I do a read, I believe it should be an adventure. It should be an event. I'm having another event, poetry, on August 24th at Monroeville Mall. And it's going to be kind of crazy. My events, I've had pole dancers. I've had rock and roll. Yeah, crazy times, man. I've had boxers, like, perform. I've had people get arrested. One policeman got his nose broken. I had strippers. I had a band last week, a drum and bugle. So I think it has to be. That's how my life is. I live poetry. Okay. The two books these books go hand in hand. The Elf and Myself. The distance of the road not taken is measured by the foot tracks that were never made. You know, all these people want to do something. Well, get off your ass and do it. Do it. You want to be a, do it. Okay. Come on. You want to read down at the Heinz Field? Do it. Have the courage. And anyway, this is the little elf, Alfie. And he meets Glowy. And the three questions I always ask in life, philosophically, what do you have? What do you want? What do you need? What do you have? What do you want? What do you need? Okay, and then you answer them. The answer is in this book. I actually wrote these two books in conjunction with the other one. They were after me to write this book right here. Dog is Love from Hell. I got like, but these two books I wrote because of kids, and actually because of Donald Trump. And I'm serious, I'm not kidding. I think we have an obligation to art, not only for what Donald Trump has done, what the Democrats have done, and what all the colleagues have done. We must transcend what's going on. And so I took this, and I wanted to show the magic of it all. This was written on the vein of the Velveteen Rabbit, and sort of. And all right. I don't think there's anything such as a bad kid. I really don't. I don't believe that. Nobody will ever come in. I've been with murdering kids. They do bad things. And I'm going to tell you something. The secret to buying drugs when you're undercover or finding out who just did an aggravated assault, find out what's important to them. Go inside their souls. That's the secret. I could tell you all about the study of body languages and all that, but I'm not going to. There's no such thing as a naughty kid, only kids that do naughty things. That's from the Grand Elf. The Grand Elf taught Elfie. And there are many things that are amazing, and many things will surprise and Google IU, and I guess you should also know that's a fact, as a matter of fact. Now, this may amaze you just a little and make you shake your head a little to tilt, but I'm going to tell you a very important head-tilting fact. Here it goes. Are you ready? Are you ready, Fetty? Here it comes, ready or not, in bold letters. There's no such thing as a naughty kid. There are no bad kids. There are no dumb kids. There are only kids who just want to be kids. And it's okie dokie to be a kid, and that's just a fact. And you can be found in the fact book listed as Forever Young, Lollipops, Cotton Candy, Skip and Jump, Freckle Smiles, Cow Legs, Bubblegum, Hopping, Puppies and Kittens, and Monkeys Rolling Around for the Fun of It, Becoming a Pirate, Making Faces, Pretending, Singing Out Loud, and Not Knowing the Words, Jumping on the Bed, and Not Washing Behind the Ears. And I'll leave that poem in right there. It goes on, but okay. There's no such thing as a bad kid. And Elfie meets Chloe, and she falls in love with Chloe, and she kisses him, and kiss me once, and kiss me twice, and kiss me once again. When's the last time you did that? You know? And this was written as Zen is motorcycle maintenance. The secret, there is no secret, is only the Tao of elves. All these little epigrams and little euphemisms. Sometimes when you think about it, there really is nothing to think about. And that's just a thought worth thinking about. All dream, always dream your dreams for a while and dream the dreams for real. And as sure as when you awake for real, the dreams will become for real. Wisdom is to know the things that you don't know and be wise enough to know that the more you study, the less you know, and that's more than you should know anyway. And I'm not going to go anymore. These books, Beware the Dog and Dog Unleash, they're police poems, you know. And I want to go into this one. And mostly... The Art of a Jockey Strap. A friend of mine asked me about a jockey strap and wanted to know, is there an art to putting on a jockey strap? And I was like, wow, I can't miss this opportunity. This is just too cool. And she's a teacher at Carlo. And I'm not going to tell you her name. Not many people know, and the most would be afraid to ask, but not my friend Yoey girl. Because she ain't afraid of nothing. She asked, can you tell me about putting on a jockey strap? I said, what? She said, can you tell me about putting on a jockey strap? I said, what do you mean? Is there an art or a manual that teaches a man to putting on a jockey strap? I said, well, I don't think there's a manual, but I'm sure it's an art. Yoey asked, how is it an art? I said, well, it's kind of a rite of passage, handed down, I think, from the Greeks. It's an art taught by father to his son, or grandfather to his grandson, or maybe a priest or a rabbi handing down. It's like a bar mitzvah or a confirmation, or when a boy is taught to go hunting in the woods alone and taught to drive a car or first cigar or first beer, or learning to tie a necktie, and when a boy first kisses a girl. Kind of an unspoken passage. She asks, what do you mean? Well, when a boy is given his first jockey straps, he is recognized as a man. You see, it's the first time that he grows peach fuzz on his little walnuts, and the father must tell him all the important things. What kind of important things? I said, well, for one, how to put it on. Oh, I'm all ears. Tell me. First thing you got to learn is the little pouch goes in the front. Because many an unschooled boy would put the pouch in the back and kind of look like a horse pulling a junk wagon. And second thing is that the boy would be taught to sit down and put the jockey strap on and make sure that he doesn't get caught on his foot. Because if you get a jockey strap caught on your foot, you can be launched just like an arrow. I mean, the strength of a jockey strap can fire you maybe 18, 20 feet in the air, just like an arrow. And if you're sitting in it on a chair, you can be launched head over heels. My father told me that when he was in the Lyceum with my Uncle Benny, and my uncle was standing up on one foot at the time, kind of hopping, well, he caught his foot on the strap and ping, he shot maybe 25 feet in midair, straight out the second-story window and landed in a rose bush with a strap over his ears. But thank God for the rose bush, because that's what broke his fall. And he wasn't hurt too bad except for a few thorns in his pride. I mean, he was butt-ass sitting and had to be pulled out of the bush. A few girls were there, and he came crashing through the window, and they were giggling when they pulled him free. But my Uncle Benny denied it was him and said it was my Uncle Bernie. But it makes no difference more than a fleas on a hound. It's still one hell of a rite of passage. I guess if I was to best make you understand, it's like when a little girl wears her first training bra. I mean, a mother or grandmother got to tell her about the flop and stopping, and that's a similar passage. Yowie girl said, "Did I ever tell you sometimes you're a dumbbell?" I said, "Not really, just when I'm asked dumb questions." I've written many poems to God, with God. I have these dialogues, and maybe it's because of, doesn't matter where it's because. Another God poem, not another friend dying or another killing poem or love poem or drinking poem or another lust poem, another war poem. I want to write about God today, maybe like Francis did hundreds of years ago, how he danced around naked with God, laughing inside his heart. Sometimes I want to be Francis, looking at the sky, talking with birds and wolves. Sometimes I even want to feel the pain of the stigmata and argue with purity of my soul. But mostly I love just talking with God about how he never has got enough time to go fishing or enough time to go to the fights or baseball games or go to the horse races. I tell him I'll buy him a beer, but he's always busy. Of course, he's always questioning about earthquakes and floods and tornadoes, even gets blamed for street violence. He told me most of his time is taken up drying tears of mothers that lost their child to madness. I asked him once if he could stop the tears before they fall, turn an upside-down frown to a smile. He told me it's more complicated than that. It's the grinding gears of the universe. And one day I'd understand. He did say he does listen to prayer, real prayer, not I need money prayers, but to the prayers of love, pain, of distress, prayers of worry. He told me there are many griefs, old age, sickness, hard times, vexations of the spirit, sting of disappointments. He said that he has an ear for listening, especially prayers for the heart of innocence. Sometimes he even finds an angel that will ease the hurt. Sometimes he will even send an angel that will ease the hurt. He had to run, but he told me to tell anyone that would listen. He can be found in a glass of water or the warmth of the sun and the giggle of children. You just got to hunt. I asked him before he left, God, can you give me a 3-digit number today? I'm not greedy. I only bet a buck. He smiled. That would be dealing off the bottom. And I winked, looking at the bright edge of the clouds. Okay. All right, the dog is a love from hell. So you understand what it's all about, I guess. Always asking what is the message, asking yourself over and over what is the message, over and over again and again, asking and asking, begging for an answer, years turn to years, knowing you have escaped from the fires of hell and not many would understand, no matter how many times you try to explain or paint a picture that I tell you true. The gates of hell are locked unless you unlock them, having the key. And the key, my friend, can only be found in your heart and soul. And again, the key can only be found in your heart and soul. To love a God that needs not your love, but the love deeper than the blood of a sin, that kind of blood, that kind of sin. I guess maybe to understand, you must look into the fire of hell, and the fire burns deep inside and burn forever once you have seen hell. Keep in mind the key, always the key. Never forget the key, the key. Never forget the key. Song sung like an angelus prayer, suffering the incarnation with the pain of oath and the bell that falls you to your knees because you have dared to look into the fire, and always the heat burning deep in your soul, having touched the scorched earth and felt the pain of the mother, Mother Earth, and the mother that would wail when you told her that her daughter had been shot twice in the back of her head, and for no other reason that she was just there, wrong place, wrong time, and the boy that was shot in the small of his back, and how the bullet ripped through his heart, and how he ran for three blocks like a wounded deer, and you followed the trail, and you looked at the blood, and the blood had bubbles, and you knew that he had been alive for a moment, and fear chasing him like the echo of a 9mm round that claimed him. And go back to the drunken Negro that tried to jump off the bridge, and how you grabbed him and held him by his belt, his feet dangling over death, and how you threw him on the asphalt, and how he brush burned his forehead, dirt and blood mixed. How you watched as the cops threw him in the wagon. You remember the sound of his body hitting the steel floor, and they called him, you stinky motherfucker, and how your heart pounded and pounded as the wagon drove away and sat on the curb and looked far into the night sky. And go back to the rockets and mortar, how you were afraid, praying as everything burned and smelled of sulfur, and you prayed lying in a ditch, trying to get away from the madness. Tell of the whiz of bullets and how you sat on Buddha Hill and watched as the F-100s flew with hundreds and hundreds of bombs to be dropped from heaven. Tell them this is the fires of hell. Tell them of the cobras and the red flames from hell, how the flames poured down to earth. Tell them of the napalm and how it burned and scorched the earth. And the madness has always followed you, like when you found the man in Horn's department store shaking and stinking, lying there, just lying there, breathing like a wounded animal, having shit and pissed his pants. Tell them of the 15-year-old little boy that died from a drug overdose and how he had blue eyes and blonde straw hair. Tell them of the fires. Tell them of Jerry, how he crashed on his Harley and broke every bone in his body, and how you cried, if that matters to anyone. Tell them of the old man when the shotgun trapped, and how the man was cut in two, and how his body laid on the dirty wooden porch and his guts open to the July sun, and how the flames came, and how there was a trickle of blood running from his mouth. Tell them of the fires of hell. Tell them of the boy that hung himself in a dirty jail in Homestead. You cut him down and felt the weight of his cold, dead body. Tell them of Ebony, how she was honor student at Westinghouse, and she was going to plan her graduation, and she was shot because she was between the madness of ignorance. Tell them of Valerie, how she was killed on Christmas, and her last words were, I'm here. Tell them of George, how he had been shot twice in Vietnam, once by accident while driving through the Strip District by some asshole that was shooting at random, and how the bullet went through his leg. Tell them how he thought he was being followed by a motorcycle gang because he had lost it, his mind gone, his madness made him stick a gun in his mouth. Tell them of Bear, how he drank himself to death. Tell them of Bouncer, how he drank himself to death. Tell them of Sabo, how he drank himself to death after being held hostage with a shotgun, and how the madman shot the police car windows out. And tell them about Perry, who also ate his gun on Christmas, but you knew him once when he smiled and loved his wife. Tell them of Amber. Tell them how she weighed more than the earth, and tell them and tell them and tell them again. Tell them of your many bosses that had no backbone and how they were weak men, so very weak, and they had all high-pitched voices like little girls or like someone that was holding their balls with a pair of pliers. Tell them how you were surrounded and you didn't belong in the projects and didn't even have time for a prayer. You had to pretend that you were capable of them blowing their brains out, and you couldn't let a muscle twitch in your face because they would have seen you. They seen you were drawled, strings, scared. Tell them of the body parts found in the dumpster. Tell them of the young woman. Tell them. Go on. Measure the 10 times, 10 times, 100, 1,000 faces in the story after story you've heard. Tell them of the oath that you took, but not the oath of man, but the oath that you made to yourself and how you felt the stigmata of Francis. Tell them of the promise that you made. No man would ever break you. Tell them how you walk the earth inside your soul. Tell them of the promise. Tell them and again, tell them again and again that the message is love and the dog is a love from hell.